Hello and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. The elements are a metaphor, a simple organizational system to help us understand business and ourselves as business owners. And they are the components of nature, the roots of magic, and the building blocks of life. We all have some aspects of life and business where we thrive and others that are more challenging. By looking at these things elementally, we remove shame and judgment and can discern which elements would help us bring ourselves into balance. Earth, root chakra, Capricorn, Taurus, Virgo. Earth rules the parts of business that keep us safe and secure as we do our soul work. Sustainability, finances, contracts, systems, our core values, and clarity about exactly what our medicine is and how we fit into the ecosystem are governed by Earth element. Air, heart and third eye chakra, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. Air rules our big vision, our ultimate picture of success. It's where we connect our medicine to a mission and decide what kind of impact we want to create during our time on this planet. Water, sacral chakra, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. This is the realm of our emotions, and business is emotional. How we feel about people, ourselves, visibility, uncertainty, how we handle stress and disappointment, all of this and more affects how you navigate your business. Water element is where we learn to resource ourselves and expand our capacity to hold the big feelings that come with doing our work in the world. Fire, solar plexus chakra, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Fire is where we take our gifts, our uniqueness, and our creations, and we blaze them out into the world. All things selling, marketing, and the day-to-day actions of running our business are ruled by fire. Too much fire and we burn out. Not enough, and our business never makes it off the ground. And spirit, crown chakra. Every good gardener knows the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Spirit rules the faith required to keep tending your business long before you've seen a single sprout of evidence that it's growing. No matter what you believe in, spirit element is what you travel through after you leap and before you land. Life thrives when all of the elements are in balance. So do you, and so will your business. To find out your dominant element, take our quiz at intuitiveedgecoaching.com/quiz. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hello, and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. I am so excited to bring you today's episode. This is a very fun conversation with one of my favorite content creators and now one of my favorite humans, Kai Westcott of The Vibe with Kai. But before we get into this episode, there's something that's been on my mind recently, and it is that parasocial relationships are weird. And I feel like a lot of my communication is one way. So I share a lot with you. You know a lot about me and a lot about my business. I don't know very much about you unless you tell me. So I would like to get to know you more. I've been reaching out to my email list. I've been sharing this on my social platforms that I'm still active with. I want more two-way communication. I want a clearer idea of who's listening to this show, what are you listening to it for, what do you get out of it, what's going on for you, what's going on in your business, what do you need help with, what do you love, what do you hate, how can I create things that are really valuable for you? And the best way for me to do that is by asking you and you telling me versus me guessing. So to that end, I decided to offer something brand new, which is a free 20-minute business audit. And this is not a sales call. It is literally a 20-minute peek under the hood of your business. And the way that this works is that you will book a call with me. When you book that call, you're going to fill out a form that's going to give me a lot of information about you, what's going on with you, about your business and what's going on with your business. You're going to send me your website, your social media, anything that you want me to take a look at that's forward facing. And then based on the things that you tell me and the things that you share with me, I'm going to create a pretty comprehensive business audit for you. I'm going to tell you what I see that might be able to help you with some of the challenges that you're facing. And I'm going to share that information with you in a 20-minute free Zoom call. If after that you want to have more information about ways that we can work together, we could set up a separate time to talk about that, but we're not going to talk about it during your business audit. We're just going to be focused on you. The people who have already booked them have written in the form that even if nothing else happened in the business audit, they already got so much clarity just by filling out the form that they were already feeling more inspired, more clear on what they needed and wanted to do in their business. And that made me feel really excited to continue to share and offer these. I don't know how long I'll be offering them. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, I'm going to put the link in the show notes. I would love for you to take advantage of them. If we've never communicated before, this is really exciting for me to have this opportunity to get to know who's out there a little bit more. Everyone, you know, I don't want everyone to be a number, but that's what happens. All I can see is the podcast charts telling me who listens every, how many people listen every week, but not who. I know what countries people are in, but I don't know who. I don't know what you guys do. And so I would just love this opportunity to get to know you a little better, get to know about your business a little bit more, put a face to the number on the screen, and have a chance to actually chat with people, because that's something I feel like I'm missing in my life and in my business. So if that's something that you feel like you're missing too, and you would like to connect for real, then I am really excited to get to talk with you. I'm going to put the link for that in the show notes. It doesn't cost anything. It just costs your time of filling out this form and telling me about you, and then the time that we'll take to get on a Zoom and chat with each other. And I'm really looking forward to getting to meet some of you. So make sure you sign up for one of those. All right, without further ado, we're going to get into a ride of an ADHD-addled, hilarious conversation with me and Kai Westcott of The Vibe with Kai. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah, and my friends, I'm excited. Today on the show, we have Kyrus Keenan Westcott, a very formal and fancy name, popularly known as Kai from The Vibe with Kai. Kai is a dynamic content creator whose work primarily addresses mental health complexities for an adult audience. His content, particularly impactful within the African American community, offers a mix of humor and authenticity, resonating with followers across English-speaking regions. Kai's platforms span Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. If you have a screen, his face is on it. Engaging users through educational materials, webinars, and interactions with mental health professionals. His mission is to dismantle mental health stigma, blending laughter with realism. Central to his approach are themes like mental health awareness, personal mental health journeys, therapy and treatment options, humor and healing, community support, expert insights, daily coping strategies, balancing realism and optimism, and empowerment and advocacy, all aimed at fostering solidarity and guidance in mental well-being. Hi.
Hi, that was epic. That was epic. And I think you did that first try, first go. That's amazing.
Your girl's a reader.
I like it. That's amazing.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited. I was going to just start the show. Two introverted musical theater nerds with ADHD to a podcast.
That's the story of my life. If I'm not listening to a podcast, I'm listening to musical theater of some sort. That's my life.
You recently rapped playing King Triton.
I did. I played King Triton in the Little Mermaid, the musical. And now I'm heading into starting in January. I'm directing Ghost, the musical. So it's just nonstop for me, and I like that. That's a lot of fun.
That's amazing. You're directing this time. Are you in the show as well?
No, oh gosh, no. No, I've been directing for about 15 years now. So this will probably be, I want to say maybe show 25 for me that I've directed musical wise.
Okay. I just realized that this conversation's going to go in a direction I didn't expect. At a certain point, we're going to talk about bringing theater into content creation for social
media. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
That's too exciting.
Sure thing.
First, I want to, I guess I want to start with, like, obviously your platform, you talk a lot about having ADHD and being diagnosed as an adult. I also have ADHD and was diagnosed as an adult. A lot of people in my community and people that I work with are neurodivergent of some sort, and many mm-hmm. are diagnosed as adults. And so I guess I want to just start with, when did you get diagnosed? And I love hearing about the, like, the trail of ahas that happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it all started for me back in 2022. That I was having a legitimate mental breakdown in my bedroom, which is right behind me, in the room next door. And I was struggling very much so. And my roommate at the time was like, you need help. And my girlfriend at the time was like, you need help. And I knew that I needed help as well. And so I went and got helped. I went to go talk to a mental health professional. And at that point, I was diagnosed with severe depression and generalized anxiety disorder. And as I was starting my treatment for both of those things and starting, you know, therapy, I still felt off. I still felt like something was still wrong. And so at that point, I would say a couple months later, is when I was told that I should get tested for ADHD. And I was like, I don't have ADHD. Well, like, that's for little boys that can't sit still. like, that's not for me. What are you talking about? And so I ended up getting tested. And coming to find out, I am high-functioning ADHD. I don't even have ADHD. I have ADHD 4K. Like, it's just clear as day. like I just have it. And it was funny because once I was diagnosed, I started doing more research on it, and I was like, wow, the signs have been here my entire life. Like, it's just been there and nobody said anything. So there were a bunch of aha moments after my diagnosis of all of those things, because I realized that these are things that I've been struggling with for the longest time. But now I'm glad that I'm able to put a name to it. I'm able to have some clarity and, you know, manage it in a way that helps me be productive in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so relatable. It's interesting. I also was diagnosed first with depression and anxiety, but when I was much younger. And I think it's really common in our medical system in general to have your symptoms diagnosed as your primary condition. And so when I started learning that depression and anxiety were symptoms of ADHD, I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah, that explains my life. That explains everything. Yeah.
Aha. And what do you think were some of the key things for you where you were like, I can't believe no one caught this as ADHD?
Oh, man. I used to beat myself up all the time because I used to think that I wasn't working hard enough, that I was lazy, that I just didn't have that drive in me. Come to find out, my executive dysfunction was holding me down. I wasn't able to manage my executive function at all my entire life. So I wasn't able to push the start button on anything. And it wasn't a matter of me being lazy or being a person that didn't have drive. It's just there was a literal chemical issue in my brain that was preventing me from pushing the start button. So that's one. Time blindness is a huge thing for me. So I used to think that I was just dumb because I was just always keeping track of time. I was always late to things. And coming to find out, time blindness is a thing that some people with ADHD have to deal with. So it was like little things like that, things that I was struggling with my entire life that I realized these have to do with little chemical things happening inside of my brain. That explains all of these things that I've been struggling with my entire life. And so once I was able to put a finger on top of all of that, I was like, oh man, I feel like I know what direction I'm supposed to be going right now. You know, it's a good feeling.
I am so glad you said that, because I found it such a relief. And I've seen memes that say things like there's the, whenever you start feel like you land first on a neurodivergent side of the internet and you're like, why am I getting this content? Because they know us better than we do. And then you're like, oh, could I maybe? And then you're like, no, I don't. And then you're like, maybe I do. And then you get assessed, yeah, like, I do. And then you're like, am I just being a whiny bitch? There's no way this is real. This can't be real. This is still just an excuse. And then you're like, oh wait, I'm neurodivergent as fuck. Like,
yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about social media. Uh-huh.
And it's so relieving. Like, it's,
oh yeah,
like, oh, like, okay. I can start first of all, I love just being able to like think, okay, I can start addressing the real issue.
Yes.
All of this, yes, time I've spent chasing around these symptoms and trying to come up with systems for not missing appointments, right? Like, mm-hmm, all these things, I'm like, no.
Oh yeah, like little alarms and timers that you put up around the house and stuff. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely, when I was getting assessed, they were like, do you have trouble like keeping appointments? And I was like, no.
Oh my God.
Before you see, I have a system. You and see, my system I have... is that I have a digital calendar and a paper calendar, and I have alarms on my phone. Now, if any, yeah, one of those systems fail, then yes, I will miss the appointment. But I'm great. And they were like, yeah, that's not.
Yeah, that's not. When you have to set up contraptions like you're Kevin in Home Alone in order for you to make it to an event on time, that's not, that's probably something that you should probably look into. Like, that was me. I was like,
I didn't know that wasn't normal.
Everybody doesn't do this? Oh, okay. All right.
Well. You don't have an elaborate system to remember to put on socks? Like,
why that's not everybody. It's just, oh, it's just us neuro spicy people. Interesting. Okay. All right.
Yeah, got it. So you get diagnosed, you feel relieved. At what point was the next stage like, I'm going to open up my phone and talk to the whole world about it?
Well, luckily for me, I was kind of already doing that because in 2018, I ruptured my Achilles, which is one of the worst things you can do to your foot. And I started a blog to document how I was feeling and my physical recovery from that. And it was called Good Vibes with Kai. And it started out as a blog. And then I started filming myself, you know, sitting in front of my computer, just talking about my recovery and how I was feeling and how I was just going to live a life full of positive energy because, like, rupturing your Achilles freaking sucks. It's not fun. Like, you legitimately can't put any weight on it. I wasn't able to drive or walk or run or do any of the things that I was used to. I was forced to work from home, and this was before COVID. So I was working from home before it was cool, you know, and like the technology just wasn't there for that. So I was already at home talking to my camera about how I was feeling. And from there, it just kind of gradually turned into my mental health journey because I realized that people were very interested in hearing about that for some weird reason. And so, I'm joking when I say that, but because I know like people were latching onto it because people were like, oh, wait, this guy is going through what I'm going through. Like I'm not alone. You know, there's other people that are dealing with the things that I have to deal with every day. So to be able to talk about that and help people feel validated and not alone is a really cool feeling. So, yeah, in regards to picking up my phone and talking to it, yeah, I had already been bitten by that bug for a while before my diagnosis. So I just kind of easily slipped into that. That was no problem.
Did you see a huge surge in followers and popularity when you started talking about ADHD?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It started, honestly, my research honestly started in 2020 on TikTok, right? Like most people's surges kind of happened. But at the time I was just being silly. Like it was just really dumb stuff that I was talking about on TikTok. And then from there, I started documenting me watching Gilmore Girls. Because I had never seen it, and like I'm not, for those of you that can't see me right now, I'm a 36 year old black man. Gilmore Girls, I'm not the demographic for Gilmore Girls at all, right?
I've also never seen it, and looking at me you might think I was, but
yeah, like it just wasn't, but I was, people told me I should watch it, and it was my first viral video, like me making fun of my old roommate who was rocking out to the theme song of Gilmore Girls. I was like, why are you, what the heck? That was my first viral video ever. And so people were like, well, why don't you just watch it? So I started watching it. I documented it. So that's how I started to get like a bigger following. And then from there is when I shifted over to mental health. And I would say in the last year and a half, talking about depression, anxiety, ADHD, and introversion, like things, they have taken off. My first jolt was from Gilmore Girls and such, but since then, like a majority of my audience has come from like ADHD, introversion, that kind of thing.
Yeah. What's coming up for me as I think about this is that, for those of you who it hasn't happened to, going viral can be one of the most dysregulating and uncomfortable experiences.
It's so uncomfortable.
And so as someone who, first of all, I'll say, y'all, right now, Kai made a post of something dumb. It's not even himself, two other dudes arguing about something dumb. And I made a dumb comment on this post where I said, just unplug humanity and plug it back in at this point, which isn't even my joke. That comment is still, every day that I open Instagram, the most
important
thing. There's like 33,000 likes on this one comment.
Yeah.
It won't go down. Like, it's still going. And I'm like, y'all, this isn't even that funny. But it's so intense to have so many people's eyeballs and opinions and so much engagement. And as somebody who already tends toward depression, tends toward anxiety, leans toward introversion, struggles with overwhelm.
Yeah.
How has it been for you to experience that like daily for years?
It's so weird because for those of you that don't know my content, like I make a lot of sounds for people. I like making content where people, you know, can just use my sounds. Like that's my big thing. I want people to be able to just like recreate scenes using my voice. And so I've been very fortunate that that's been very successful for me. But the weird part is that like I'm scrolling through any platform, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I'll just hear my voice. People in here listening right now, even if you haven't like followed me before, you've probably heard my voice before, which is really weird to say. Because apparently I guess I have a recognizable voice. But like that attention, it's really, really difficult sometimes. It's a humbling experience because, I mean, you have eyeballs from all over the globe and everybody has an opinion and everybody wants you to know what their opinion is. And so at first for me, it was like, because I wanted everybody to like me and I wanted everybody to just be happy. And then I learned very fast, not everybody's going to like you. and that's okay. I'm at a point now. It's like, okay, like that's fine. If you don't like my content, you don't have to watch it. You can just keep scrolling. But it is a lot of attention. And I did struggle with it at first, like any kind of viral video, because people can be very mean sometimes. It's not often, but people can be very mean because I talk openly about my mental health. And so people can be mean. 98% of the people out there are incredibly sweet, incredibly nice, incredibly supportive and validating. But there's always that 2% that just have an agenda, that just want to tear you down sometimes. That can be tough. On the other end, there's also sometimes I feel like a certain pressure because mental health is such a personal thing and journey that people go through. And I'm not a mental health professional. I just talk to people about my journey. And so people often come to me asking for advice and tips and all that. And like, that's tough for me because I don't ever pretend to be a mental health professional. I don't ever want people to think I am. So there is sometimes a pressure and I have to understand the responsibility that I have with the platform that I have to make sure I'm putting out information that is factual, that is relatable and information that can help people.
Yeah. Has it ever been hard for you to get negative comments, negative feedback? Do you engage a lot in the comments?
I used to engage in the negative side, but now I just ignore it. There's nothing that that people that leave negative comments and stuff like that, there's nothing that they hate more than not getting attention. they hate it, especially if they see I comment on everything else except for that. So I honestly just ignore it, because I know that there's people that just will always have something to say. That's okay. They have the right, they have a right to do that. They have a right to feel the way that they feel, but I also have a right to completely ignore it and to not let it ruin my day. So I've been doing it for such a long time now that I have a very thick skin. But I always tell like new people to the social media world that make content, like, you gotta be ready. If you put yourself out there, people are going to say anything they want, both good and bad. You got to be ready for that. And you can't take it personal. You just got to keep pushing forward. Remember what your goal is and focus on that, not on the negative side.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to share this because it's interesting, and anyone who's listening might be interested in it. I don't think I've ever talked about this before, but I had a coaching client in a life coaching program once who quite vulnerably shared that she was a troll, that she was like a shit commenter.
Wow.
And first of all, I want to say it was one of the few times I've ever had in coaching where it was really hard for me to stay super open and curious and neutral and ask questions and just try not to be like, just stop it. Like, I couldn't do that, you know?
Wow.
And I was asking a lot of questions about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the value to this is that, first of all, this is a person who's open and vulnerable enough to share this thing that's like really embarrassing for an adult to share. And to get some insight. And really, it was like she was so profoundly lonely. And she knew that when she made antagonistic comments that made people angry, she got so many more responses. And she got so much more engagement. And when I would talk to her about, like, you know, what if you took that same amount of time every day and went and made 10 positive comments on people's posts? She was like, when I used to do that, like, nobody answered me. And when I started being nasty, like, people started answering me.
Yeah.
And I get this rush, and I, you know, like, it doesn't feel good, but it feels like something. And it's sad, but also very insightful to hear. And so now when I do encounter like negative comments and people who are mean, like, it does help me to be like, oh, this is a person who's probably profoundly lonely and has learned that being nasty online, right? Even if like all your followers jump in and defend you, that person still got 50 comments today.
It's I just interviewed somebody, my friend Andrea Santiago. She is from Chicago and a licensed therapist. And we were talking about the connection between social media and mental health. And one of the things that we were talking about is how people, you get a high off of that attention that people give you, right? And so whenever people get attention from just being an ass, right? What they need to understand is that that's a very fickle thing and response that you're getting. And so, yeah, you might be getting the attention now, but in the long run, it's not going to do you any good. Now, on the other side, if you, yeah, you may not get as much attention from posting a positive comment, but you need to understand that positive comment is actually helping people. So people may not respond in droves, but it only takes one person for you to help and to make their day better, for it to be worth it. Like that's all it takes. You don't have to lead a life of negativity, because if you lead a life of negativity, negativity will follow you everywhere you go, and you're going to make that your life. And negative people are very fickle. And if you want to surround yourself with negative people, that's on you, but you're not going to get anywhere in life.
Hey, entrepreneur, I don't care what stage of business you're in. If you're doing it alone, you're doing it wrong. We need people. We need people in our corner. We need outside eyes. We need someone to go to. We need that in case of emergency break glass person that we can call when we're stuck or frustrated or overwhelmed, when we aren't sure what move to make, or when we just want to celebrate our accomplishments. We need the right people on our team. No one who has ever built a big, successful business does it alone. You should not be trying to do it all alone. you need people in your corner because owning and running a business might be one of the hardest things you ever do. And most people in your life simply won't be able to relate or guide you if they've never done what you're trying to do. Ideally, I'd like to see you in one-on-one coaching so that I can really be a partner to you behind the scenes in the day-to-day of your business and walk alongside you through every season, every stage, even into the nitty-gritty details. But if you're not ready for that, at the very least, I want you to get into the Elemental Entrepreneurship Coven. Elemental Entrepreneurship Coven is the number one resource you need for success as a heart-centered creative entrepreneur. There is truly nothing else like it on the market. It's a hybrid of courses, group coaching, a mastermind, and a brilliant supportive community all in one. Joining the Coven will connect you to teaching and tools designed to guide you through every single step of building and scaling your business to six figures. No more questioning what to do all by yourself. No more buying random one-off courses on different topics and trying to patchwork it all together. Every single topic you need is covered. We're talking from legal structure to contracts to branding to marketing to product development, launching, you name it, it's in here. Can you imagine never having to buy another course again because you've already got it all under one roof, and if you need something, you can just search it and find it? That alone is worth the investment. But you also get access to bi-weekly, high-impact live group coaching sessions with me, ongoing workshops with guest experts, and our private Facebook group so that you can stop doing business alone. And you should. An Elemental Entrepreneurship Coven is one amazing way that you can do that. Go to intuitiveedgecoaching.com/coven, C-O-V-E-N, to join today. And as a special thank you for being a listener to the pod, simply enter the code PODCAST on any checkout page for 11% off your first 3 months of membership at any level. That's intuitiveedgecoaching.com/coven and enter the code PODCAST at checkout. I can't wait to help you grow your business so that you can make a bigger impact, help more people, share your gifts with a larger audience, and make the money you deserve to be making for your gifts, skills, and talents. But most of all, I want to see you so confident and so self-assured that you are just as talented at running a business as you are at the thing you do. And that is within reach when you join the Coven. So I can't wait to see you inside. Let's get back to the show.
So it's like, what's your goal? What is your overall goal for what you post online? And that's what I remind myself of, because I could easily, if I wanted to, dedicate my platform to responding to the negative shit that's said out there. But then I'm like, what's the point other than the right here, right now?
Yeah.
What about in the long run? Is this video, anytime I post a video, I always ask myself, is this helping somebody? And if the answer is no, I don't post it. Because what's the point? It's that at that point, it's all about me and nothing else. For me, I'm like, it's not about me. I'm telling my story, right? But for me, like, I want people to help. I want to help people. Like, that's my goal. So if it's not going to help people, then I'm not going to post it because there's no point, you know? So like, I that's the way I go about it. Not everybody goes about it that way, but that's how I do it.
Yeah, I love that. This is a whole separate podcast series, right? We can just talking about like the way that social media functions. And I've really had to like come to understand, like for me, where I'm at with social media in general right now is understanding that like most of the time it's not a place for good faith debates. Like people aren't interested in having their mind changed a lot of the time, especially people who are making negative comments. It's like, this is not a place where you could engage in a conversation. The person who's making this comment is not open. They don't want a conversation. They're not interested in having their mind changed. Like they want to come in and say something, and the people who agree with them will line up behind them, and the people who don't agree will line up on the other side, and they'll play a weird game of Internet Red Rover, and then they'll go on about their day, and it's like, I don't want to be involved in any of it.
Yeah, it's all about intention, you know? So if you want to engage with somebody about something, it's like, what is your intention of engaging with them? If your intention is to change your mind, is to change their mind, and you know they're not going to change your mind, it's like, why waste your energy? Like why even because they're just doing it for, again, for themselves, for validation on their end. So like that's not going to help anybody to get, you know, don't so it's like, yeah. Yeah. So why give them the attention? It's not even worth it.
So to pivot from trolls, they've gotten enough of our time. As you were making skits, were you ever conscious about bringing theater and theater training into the way that you started setting up skits? Or is that like a really natural thing?
It's so natural. I started doing musical theater in eighth grade. So it's been a part of me for the longest time. From there, I did high school theater like all throughout my years of high school. I went to college for it at Rider University, where I was an acting major. So like, and then even after college, like I was very fortunate to have a very cool, blessed professional theatrical career. You know, like it's just part of who I am to be able to perform and entertain people. So making the videos, you know, stuff like that, it just naturally comes. And you know, from the various reactions to timing, like when it comes to comedy, like timing is everything. And so like I took so many comedy classes growing up, and to be able to perfect timing with comedy, you can make anything funny. You can legit make anything funny if you have the timing down. And so for me, like, it's all about timing. That's where I usually start. And then I work backwards. I'll usually have a punchline. I'll usually know like the point that I want people to laugh. And then from there I get the timing down. And then from there I'll do the setup. And that I learned all of that from my theatrical life, you know, from either performing or watching other people perform.
I love that so much. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite types of things to film? Do you like doing more straight to the camera? Do you like making skits more? Like, what are your favorite kinds of things to make?
I love making straight to the camera type of videos where I'm just talking to people, like talking directly to the person. Those are my favorite to film because like that's legitimately like me talking to you. Like I love that. I love to be able to have that connection with people. But the videos that do the best for me performance wise are the ones where I'm going back and forth, where I'm playing multiple characters, you know, where people can like use my voice and stuff like that. Those are the ones that perform the best for me statistically. But I love being able to just look at the camera and talk to people face to face, have that eye contact with them and have them be able to make eye contact with me, because you're able to have this this digital bridge, you know, of eye contact, and people can see that I'm trying to be as genuine as I can with what I'm saying. And things like that. So, yeah, I enjoy very much making the to the camera type of comedy, but people love when I do the back and forth thing. So I just continue to do that. That's no problem. It's fine. I have fun with it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So before we got on, we were talking about, so you're making content. Mm-hmm. You're directing and being in shows.
Yeah.
And then you have another job, right?
I have a full-time job.
That's a lot of jobs.
It is. It's 24 hours, honestly. It's 24 hours, and it's exhausting. But sometimes people ask me, how do you work a 9-to-5 and then come home and either make content or go to rehearsal or go to perform? How do you do it? And I tell people, it's really easy for me because I enjoy it. I'm doing things that I enjoy. I work in marketing. I love marketing, like digital marketing. Like that's something that I very much enjoy. I love helping my clients. Making content. I love making content. I love making these silly videos for people and talking about mental health. I love performing. I love directing. I have filled my life with things that bring me joy. So it doesn't feel like it's work to me. And time flies by for me every single day because like I am doing things that I enjoy. So it never feels like a burden for me. It never feels like, oh, here we go. I got to go to rehearsal again, or I got to go to work again. Like I got to make content again. Like nobody's forcing me to do any of this. Like I very much find joy in everything that I do. So is it a lot? Is it tiring? Yes, it's very tiring. But like what keeps me going is the fact that I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing people smile. I enjoy the role that I can play in people's lives to make their day a little bit better, however I can. I enjoy bringing business to my clients to make their day a little bit better. Like, that brings me joy. So it doesn't feel like jobs to me. It's just what I do.
I love that. With content creation, I think one of the things that I hear the most from people about content creation is about, like, the demand, right? For, like, how much you need to create.
Yeah.
And as somebody who's juggling with your job, with shows, are you, like, a batch creator? Are you filming tons and tons of stuff and batching it up and doing scheduling?
Oh, yeah.
You're nodding.
I content batch everything. So, like, all the skits that you'll see during the week, I may not have filmed over the weekend, but I wrote over the weekend. So Saturdays and Sundays are usually my prep/writing days. So I'll spend those days writing and coming up with concepts or filming podcasts or whatever it may be. I prep for the week. And then during the week, I will film it. If it's something really intricate, I'll film it ahead of time. But like a lot of my skits are 15 seconds or shorter. So I'll film all of those like the day of. I know what I'm posting every single day. Sometimes I'll get an idea for something. And if I don't want to wait till next week to post it, then I'll film it, you know, that day. But more often than not, most of the sketches that you see me do are all sketches that I came up with either the week before or over the weekend. And I wrote it out and I figured out how I want to say things, when I'm going to post it, and then kind of go from there.
I love that. How many pieces of content are you putting out a week right now?
A lot. So just like Reels and TikToks alone, I put out about 2 to 3 a day. And I've been doing that since 2020. So 3 years straight of putting out 2 to 3 videos a day. That's a lot of videos, right? And then on top of that, I have my website where I put up a new, like 1 to 2 blogs every week. And then I have my podcast where I put up 1 to 2 podcast episodes per week. I have my newsletter. I'll usually send out like 2 or 3 times a week. I have my subscribers on Instagram and Facebook that I'll make special content for them. So that's usually about 3 or 4 videos a week. And then on top of that, I have my private Facebook group where I make content specifically for them as well. But again, all of that stuff,
y'all,
I'll work on
throw
over the
my
weekend.
Laptop out the window.
But like, I batch everything. So like I'll give you an example, right? So I'll pick a topic, right? Say the topic is 5 ways for your to be a better ADHD person at work, right? I'll write a blog about that. And then from there, I'll make a podcast based upon the information in that blog. And then from there, I'll come up with sketch ideas about ADHD based upon the things that I talk about in that blog. So like it's all batching. So it all comes from like the same inspiration, and then it just kind of goes from there. So it's not like it's not hard. It's tedious, but it's not difficult. It's just very tedious. It does take a lot of time.
I put out a fraction of that much content, and I'm just trying to imagine trying to create that much and have a day job and be in shows. And I'm amazed.
I used to put out more. I actually used to put out more, but then I realized quality over quantity. And so I don't put out anything that I think is shitty. Like I really try to avoid that. And I say that to other content creators all the time that ask me for advice. Like I always tell people, you don't have to put out the amount of content that I put out. Like there's content creators that I know that are very successful that put out 1 video a week, and that's all they need, you know, because they focus so much on the quality as opposed to quantity. And that's okay. Every content creator is different. My stuff, while it is a lot, it's very easy for me to make. So, you know, writing a blog, like I'm a writer. So writing a blog takes me 20 minutes to write a blog, you know, a little bit longer when I'm like proofreading it and stuff like that. But, you know, making a podcast, most of the time, like I don't need a script You know, I'm either interviewing somebody or I'm just talking off the top of my head about a topic. So like, that's really easy for me to do. Like, so I find stuff that's really easy for me. And then I just focus on those things because I know they're going to be high quality.
I love that so much. And are it's just you, you don't have a team. You're doing this all by yourself.
It's me and my two cats, Hamilton and Burr.
Love it. I guess that they're not super helpful. Like, they're not scheduled.
No, and they live with me. They don't pay any rent. They haven't paid rent in 2 years. They don't make food when I get home. They don't make food. Like, they poop in a box. Like they're no help. No help.
No, not at all.
It's ridiculous.
I do think, though, as a fellow cat owner, that the ways that they help are that they are excellent modelers of boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And that they are constantly teaching us about being in the moment and pleasure.
Yes.
And also, like, being completely, like, unashamed, right? Like, there's no one less shamed than cats. Like,
if
I'm walking down the hall and I decide I want to flop onto my back and take a nap mid-walk, I'm going to do it. And I
have
no feelings about it. I'm just doing what I want in the moment. Pure primal instinct.
Yes. Absolutely. Like, but I'm glad you used the word boundaries because, like, they make their bound. Like, I have two cats. They're both brothers from the same litter, but their personalities couldn't be any more different. And they both have a different set of boundaries that they set with each other and with me. Right. And they even understand my boundaries now. Like, they understand and all that. And I'm glad you used the word boundaries. I'm literally reading a book right now called The Boundary Revolution by my friend Judy Hu, which talks all about boundaries. And setting it for people and to your point, not being ashamed to set those boundaries. It's just like boundaries for yourself, for your friends, your family, your coworkers, whatever it may be. Just like set it and then have people make sure people respect it, including yourself for you, you know?
Yeah. It's boundaries also and like a complete unshaming around needs.
Right? Oh yeah.
Like we also know their personalities, which I always find so fascinating. Like all cat owners know, like I know that Rosie, my cats are named Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, by the way.
Amazing. So amazing.
I also know that Rosie wants, she has a very specific blanket that she likes to need when it's nap time. So I know when she starts walking around in a certain way that she needs her blanket. And I also know that like when Gilly wants to lay in my lap, she only wants to lay in my lap if the blue blanket is on my lap. And so people will see me doing these things and I'm just like, I just know their needs and they will make it very clear to me what their needs are. They don't feel embarrassed in any way about being like, so demanding because let me tell you, if the blanket is not there, the next step is like, I'm going to get a claw, knocked off a table. Like there will be hell to pay if the needs are not delivered on. And as somebody who is a recovering codependent people pleaser, I'm like, wow, you can demand
the
treatment you want and
absolutely
nothing less. I will not take the blue blanket when I want to wake on, and vice versa.
Yeah, they definitely know. They definitely let you know what they want and when they want it. My boys, Hammy, loves to like lay on my lap, and like if I'm not sitting in a position that is conducive for him to lay in my lap, he like will annoy the hell out of me until I move my legs to position that'll help that. So that's Hammy, and then Burr, he likes to lay on my chest. So, like, even if I'm sitting up, he will just, like, climb up and, like, force me to, like, lean back so that I'm in a position that is nice for him. So, like, they will definitely make sure that you understand what they need and when they need it.
Yeah. And, like, one of my best friends, her cat likes to be, like, on her shoulder like a parrot all the time. And then her other cat doesn't like to be picked up at all. And it's just amazing to learn these things, you know. And so I do feel like, yes, they live here rent-free. And never paid a bill. And they are like my self-help gurus and that I study them and I learn from them. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to take that into all of my relationships too. Like touch boundaries, like touch me here, but not here. And for this long, when I'm done, I'm just walking away and I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like all of it is great.
Yes. Yeah. And they're my best friends. You know, like I come home, it's just me living here. So like I come home and like, I just feel loved whenever it might be because I provide food for them, but like still, I still feel loved at the end of the day.
I have told all my friends though, if you ever don't hear from me for a couple of days, please come get them because they'll eat me.
They will eat you. No, they really will.
That's sad. I had a dog before and I was like, yeah, if I died in the house and my dog was here, he'd like get help. My cats will eat me.
Yeah, no, cats are like, will legitimately, they will eat you.
Yeah, you gonna provide food one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yep, legit. That is a true story. I wish I was joking. I am definitely not joking. That is a true story.
Scary.
Uh-huh. Yep.
These are the things that adults who live alone with cats have to think about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Think about it all the time. I'm like, if I don't text you back in 24 hours, come get me. They are not going to eat my face. They're not. I need to look good at my funeral.
Hey, I want to open casket.
Right. I don't want bite marks on there. Come on now.
I actually don't, y'all. I want a sailor's burial. You heard it here first. I want you to wrap me in a canvas hammock and throw me overboard. I would rather be eaten by fish than worms.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Okay.
Well, let the record state.
Why not just get like cremated? You won't get eaten by anything.
I just really like the ocean.
That's fair. Okay. I understand.
Yeah, if I'm gonna I'll
make sure that happens.
Yeah, thanks, man. If I'm gonna go back to source in some way, take me to my favorite beach.
That's fair.
Take the yacht out. I want everyone to get like housewives trashed on the yacht.
That's hilarious.
Throw me overboard.
That's hilarious. I want to be there for that. I hope it's no time soon, obviously, yeah. But like I want to be there when that happens, and I want to think back on that moment on December 16th, 2023, when we had this conversation. I'm like, oh, I remember those days.
You know what? Let's make that happen for us.
Yes.
This is the most ADHD podcast episode I've ever had. I love you so much. This makes me, this is pure joy.
This is the story of my life.
We tricked you. You came here to hear about ADHD and content, and you heard about cats, and that yes. is an object
and you're
lesson.
Not going to complain about it either, because you're with us on this journey and you're enjoying it. Damn it.
I'm into it. Okay. So here's my next question.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with all of these platforms that you're building, these followers that you're amassing? Where are you, Pied Piper? Where are you leading them?
Good question. To be honest, it's such a tough question to ask because each platform is so different and they all change so often. Like for example, one of my most engaged platforms right now is Facebook. And like, I would have never thought that Facebook would be like my most engaged platform, but it is. And so that wasn't the case like this time last year. Right. So that was a shift for me. But overall, I think at the end of the day, I just want to be able to reach as many people as possible so that they can understand, number one, that they're not alone. And number two, that it's okay to talk about mental health. And number three, that you can add levity to dark conversations. Like if those three things, if I can check off those boxes, that's a success for me. When I was growing up, there weren't many men, especially Black men, talking about mental health. So like the big goal for me is if one day I get an email or something from somebody talking about a young Black boy that saw one of my videos and was helped and decided to, you know, get help or was helped by this kind of stuff. Like the day that I received that message, I'm like, did it. I win. This is all worth it. I got it. I win life, you know, because I was able to help at least one Black boy, you know, because I didn't have that when I was young. So if I can say that's my ultimate goal, I just need one. Just one. That's it.
I love that so much. If you had the option to go like between commercials, podcast sponsorships, paid content, to like go full time in content creation and leave your job, would you?
No, absolutely not. No, never, 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 never. Social media, content creation, I love it to death. I will always dabble in it and all of that. I will never, ever, ever make content creation my full-time job. It is too fickle, and it can go, like, I mean, anything can go away at the snap of fingers, but like it can really go away at the snap of a couple fingers and you can't do shit about it. I understand why people go full-time into it, but like the amount of people that have successfully done it is so minimal. I have big ambitions outside of content creation that require me to have like that steady income. Plus, I also enjoy marketing too much to leave it. You know, like it's just a different creative outlet that I get. So the only way that I would ever go into content creation full time is if I was content creating for like as like a job for a company. Like that was like I was like their hired person. Like I was like, you know, like Flo from Progressive or something, like I was their spokesperson. You know, or Jake from State Farm. Like that, like if I was like one of those kind of things, I'll do that. Yeah, like I'll do that. But like just on my own, no. But like I get why people do it and I get how people do it, because there is money in content creation. But no, I would never. Absolutely not. Mm-mm.
That's fascinating.
Too scary.
It's too scary. I think that's really important for people to hear, because especially for this audience, you know, so many of the people that I'm working with are entrepreneurs who are, a lot of them are, I would call them reluctant content creators, right? Like they're making content honestly because they want to funnel people into their paid service.
Yeah.
And so they are going into learning, first of all, learning marketing and learning content creation and trying to build these platforms. Mm-hmm. With the goal of converting some of those followers into customers for their business, which first of all, like, I just want to say for anyone listening who maybe hasn't heard this before, those are very separate aims. Growing a platform for the sake of growing a platform and being an influencer, being a content creator with no other goal is not the same gig as growing a platform with the goal of converting people into your paid offers.
Facts.
And if you're confused about that, join the Elemental Entrepreneurship Covenant. But yeah, I see a lot of people, first of all, like a lot of business owners would love to have that size of platform because they feel like it would help their business. And so they are following models set forth by people who are building content creation platforms that are influencer platforms.
Yeah.
That don't convert back to business. And they're just such different pathways.
Yeah.
And such different goals for content. And so I think it's really important for people to hear, A, that you could decide to pursue content creation because you enjoy it, not because you're looking to monetize it. And also that you can have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of subscribers and followers and not be making money off of that. And there are a lot of people who have built huge platforms and then try to monetize and it doesn't work for them, whether that's dropping a product or they're trying to monetize on the platform. And we've seen, you know, models or whatever, you have a million followers, you try to put out a lip gloss line and no one buys it. Like, that's not what they follow you for.
Yeah. It's tough. It's really, really tough because like I don't want people to think that like you can't go into content creation or you shouldn't, because I will never tell anybody like what to do or how to do it. I can only talk about things from my experience and things that I've had to deal with. Monetizing on social media or content platforms in general is very, very difficult. I'm at a point now that I'm fortunate enough to make money off of platforms directly from the platform itself, as in like not from necessarily from like subscribers, like I'm like, as in like I'm not taking money out of other people's pockets, but like from advertisers and the platform paying me to make creations or me signing partnership deals, you know, with big companies or stuff like that. And that's where a majority of like my content creation money comes from. When you're pushing a product, that's hard, because people, like, for example, for me, I make silly videos that last 15 seconds about mental health or introversion, whatever it may be. And then if I decide, like, I have a book about ADHD that I wrote, a digital guidebook, right? And that costs money for people to get. Pushing that is hard because, like, I don't want people to think that I'm just doing a cash grab. But to that end, I also know the value of my time and my efforts. So is it my main goal to sell that book? No, but it is a way for me to have a passive income if people wanted to buy it. But I don't, my end goal isn't solely based on that. What I always tell people that are either entrepreneurs or running a business, especially some of my clients, I always have them tell me, what is your end goal? What is the thing that you want to do? Once you can answer that for me, let's work backwards. Content creation platforms are just one of the many channels that you can use to get to that end goal. It is not the only thing that you can use. There's so many different options that you can use. But at the end of the day, every decision that you make needs to be something that leads you to that end goal, not vice versa. If that makes sense,
absolutely.
Right? Like, remind yourself what that end goal is for you. For me, the end goal is to just get people's attention and end the stigma surrounding mental health. That's my end goal. Anything else leads to that, always. So if 100 million people don't buy my ADHD book, that's okay. But like, a bunch of people did, and that leads to this end goal right over here. Same thing for any entrepreneur. Or any business owner, know what your end goal is, and then pick which streams, which platforms, which channels you want to use to get to that end goal, and never forget that end goal, ever.
That's so important, and it's really valuable to consider, and I think that it's really easy to get overwhelmed, especially to tie back to being an entrepreneur with ADHD.
Yeah.
It's like... like being in Vegas, like there's like, so, like every surface lights up and there's noises everywhere.
Right? Oh yeah.
Everywhere
yeah.
you turn, there's somebody being like, you should be on this platform. You should be doing it like this. You should be creating this. You should be over here. And you're seeing other people be successful in certain places. And especially when you want your thing to pop off so bad, it can be really easy to start thinking, well, if that's working for that person, should I abandon what I'm doing and go over here? And just start like chasing all of these different tactics to make your thing happen. And so being laser focused on your goal, but also, this is the thing that I not only struggle with, but I feel like I was having a conversation with myself in my head last night about how one of my main roles when I work with artists, especially artists with ADHD, is to, I don't like to use the word discipline because it's not the word that I mean, but to have the maturity and the patience to see a project through to completion before you abandon it for the squirrel. It's like a big deal because you can be mid-project. And this is the thing, right? I shot the video. The editing part is not where I get my dopamine. That part's not fun for me. I don't want to do it anymore. So now the project is shelved. Or, well, I wrote all of this stuff, but I don't love the editing process and then the marketing process, right? Like the getting it complete and out and into the world might not be the fun part for you. You might really like the initial ideating and the planning and the costumes and the there might be other stuff that's shinier and more fun. And so I know so many creatives who get halfway through a project and then they feel like they're bored with it and there's some new idea that sounds sexier and more exciting to switch to. And so to convince yourself but to have the dedication to your work, to see your project all the way through to completion, including the marketing part of the completion, and get the project out before you jump to the next one.
Yeah.
Is very challenging in an environment that's so stimulating.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, your biggest friend when it comes to this kind of stuff is patience and consistency. If you're able to nail those two things, I know they're not sexy at all, but man, they will do you wonders. People need to understand, like, even with my platforms, this shit didn't happen overnight. Like, it took me 6 years. 6 years to get to this point that I'm at right now. And I still feel like I have a long ways to go, right? Patience, consistency, test everything. Some things work, some things don't. Things that work for me may not work for you and vice versa. You don't have to hit a home run every time, but get that base hit. That works for you. Okay, focus on that and then start looking at other things. But you need to make sure that you, to your point, if you get a hit, the hit is fun, but now you got to run to first base, right? Making it to second base, if you made it to first base, you might have to wait for something else to happen before you can start running. So that's boring. But like with patience, you're going to make it to second base. And that's exciting. But it's going to take patience. It's going to take discipline in order for that to happen. And it's so worth it when you're able to just be kind to yourself, be patient, because it's going to pay off. You're going to make it home and you're going to get that score. And you're going to look back at that patience and consistency and that hard work you're putting into it. And you're going to be like, that's why I did it. And it's all worth it. And you're going to be better off in the future for it.
A, that's beautiful. B, I think you might be like one of the first sports metaphors on the show. C, on how did no one know I have ADHD? I played organized sports for a very, very short time.
Yeah.
If the ball comes at me, it's going to hit me. I was always a theater kid. But also, like, they should have known, because, like, if I was standing on second base waiting and it was taking too long, I would have been, like, out in the field sitting on the grass, like, making a baby and they were like, you have to get up. And I was like, I don't want to. So
that's fair. That's fair. I can make it into a musical theater reference. Learning the choreography of a dance is not easy, right? But, like, when you learn it, when you're patient and you're consistent and you work hard and you have the discipline to practice it, you're going to look great on that stage dancing. And it's going to be worth it in the long run.
I also just think that what we're talking about here that's really important is falling in love with the process.
Yes.
I think that for so many people, like, yes, we need to know what our goal is and we need to know what our end result is. That's really important. And but also, if you're so focused on getting that result immediately, especially in a way where if you don't get it immediately, you get discouraged and it makes you want to quit. You are going to have a hard time in everything, in business, in content creation.
Yes.
There, I saw this video a couple days ago. I'll see if I can find it and send it to you. It was an interview with this guy who was like one of the first bloggers. And he was talking about how he made a video a day. He just started on YouTube with a video a day back when YouTube like was first starting out.
Sure.
And
yeah.
He was saying it took him like 8 years to get to 200,000 followers, and he was like $200,000 in debt and nothing was working. And then it was like 18 months to go from there to like millions and like to have his life change. And he's like, so it looks like I had this fast rise, but I made thousands of videos, right? I'm making like a video a day every single day. And I'm in debt. Yep. Like, you're an adult with a wife and a kid who's $200,000 in debt making a video every day. Like,
yeah.
Loser. And here you are trying to do anything. No, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And he was just so committed to, and he was like, the word I like to use is patience, because it's an unattractive word. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't magic. It wasn't talent. It was just being patient enough and being like dedicated to process.
Yes, you have to be. You don't have a choice. Like it's just one of those things. Like, if you want to see success in this, you don't have a choice but to be those things, whether you think it's sexy or not. You know, like, if you decide to not be patient, not be consistent, it's not like it's just going to fall on your lap. It does for some people, and good for them, but that does not happen often. Right? So, like, you just don't have a choice but to accept those things, and it'll make you better in the long run.
Absolutely. I know we're at time. I want to be mindful. I know I'm your second podcast of the day.
You're fine. And
you probably have like 22 videos to record after this and show.
It's fine. No, I worked this into my day, so you're fine.
I'm so glad to have you. Thank you so much. So
yeah.
What's coming up next for you, and where can people find you?
People can always find me and whatever crazy stuff I'm up to on my website, thevibewithkai.com, where you get links to my blog, my podcast, all the stuff that I'm doing. You can also follow me on any social media platform at The Vibe with Kai. Whatever platform is your favorite, I'm most likely there. I think I'm not on Pinterest yet, but maybe one day I'll take on that platform when I have the spoons for it. But the best way to stay up and in touch with me, is to follow me either on my website or on my social media platforms. I'm always announcing stuff there and all of that. So yeah, that's the best way.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. This was a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for everything that you do on these platforms. Thank you for, your part in helping to end the stigma surrounding mental health and for coaching people. And like, you're making lives better. You're making lives better with these conversations. So thank you for everything that you're doing. It means a lot.
Thank you. I received that. All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
That's our episode for today. Thank you, as always, for being here and for listening to the podcast. I know there are so many things that you could be doing with your time, so many things you could be listening to. It is an honor that you choose to be here. Connect with me on Instagram @intuitiveedgecoaching. Have a great day.